SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And still kind of absorbing and dissecting everything from the weekend and plenty of Derby news, horses arriving at Churchill. If you missed Mandela yesterday and heard him today, you heard what he's doing with your Arkansas Derby winner, Omaha Beach, vanning over, which makes sense. Richard laid it out for you pretty well, right? Hour and a half to the airport, the flight, the pip, the another hour, the stop in Lexington, and so on and so forth. Put them on the van. They love the van. Most of them love the van. Nobody loved it more than Broadbrush, right? That's the greatest story. That's the greatest story there is when it comes to van riding horses. Loved it so much. Loved it so much that Dickie Small used to have to put him on the van, even if he was running out of his own stall, and drive him around for an hour to make him think that he was vanning somewhere. that's the great. And when you heard, we got to find that, Casey, Dickie Small, because Dickie would laugh as he would tell the story. It's so great. Casey out of the hospital. He's sitting in today. He's sitting in the back and listening and watching and doing okay, but not listen. It's gonna be tough, and we're gonna all work together on that front. And so, you know, for those of you that are waiting an extra day or two for things like podcast delivery and the archives, etc., just bear with us. Understand what we're all doing what we can here. All right, the news from yesterday, and I've got a stack of stuff from the weekend to dive through, but after we got off the air, and actually as we were getting off the air, there were a number of jockey assignment movements that always create a bit of the lazy Susan, the trickle down effect. And the one that came up, I thought that was interesting. Julian Leperoux is going to ride the Japanese entrant, Master Fencer. And at first I thought his regular rider from Japan might come. And of course, for years, Take, the now senior Take, the Japanese rider we all over the years would see on a regular basis, but this Master Fencer had somebody different, but Leperoux, and given his familiarity obviously with the Churchill, so Master Fencer gets Julian Leperoux. The Errat Ortiz news was interesting. Errat Ortiz will ride Improbable for Bob Baffert, and the Windstar team involved with the Rebel and Arkansas Derby runner-up. And, of course, Errat Ortiz moving off of Win-Win-Win opens up Mrs. Weber's Homebred, Mike Trombetta. And for me, the right move, and I kind of would have advocated for it, you know, right from the start, but Julian Pimentel will be reunited with Win Win Win. It'll be Pimentel's first Derby mount, and actually first time at Churchill. And I imagine that Mike Trombetta and maybe some friends would get Pimentel a mount or two so that he can get a tour of Churchill. But I you know, after the Tampa Bay Derby, I said to Mike Trumbetta, do you think Pimentel back on board would make sense? And this is one of those a Fleet Alex moments, right? I know the pressure to reach for name jocks. I get it, but there's also a lot to be said for the guy you do, the business with, and the guy that rode the horse, into position. So Julian Pimentel, and I think it's great that he gets a Derby try. It's certainly, given his career, and I mean he's won a lot of races, Julian Pimentel. It's appropriate that he gets a chance to ride win. In addition, there was one other movement, Ricardo Santana. And given that Long Range Toddy, the Steve Asmussen Derby entrant, is tied in with John Court, Ricardo Santana, free to ride, somebody typically would wait and see about tying on with staying with an Asmussen trainee. But he is going to ride the Plus Que Parfait for Brendan Walsh. So some of the final assignments coming days, and the Todd Pletcher mounts are both open, and of course Johnny Velasquez with Code of Honor with Shug, and they've got Derby success, but Todd Pletcher very frequently has waited a while late in the game for assignments, and Bill Mott with Country House, so Cutting Humor, Country House spinoff, Gray Magician up, and of course Roadster, and the Omaha Beach situation. I think everybody assuming that Smith will ride Omaha Beach would not be a surprise. And then Bob Baffert and Roadster, Flavian Pratt, and the other jocks that Baffert has used all winter and into the spring. And in fact, this discussion came up at Derby Trail, and Baffert had pretty much assigned a different jock for almost every one of his three-year-olds, and Smith had been Roadster's original rider, but Pratt had Desmond, Talamo had Mucho Gusto, Van Dyke had Improbable. So we'll see what the Speedway team and Bob Baffert do with Roadster. That continues to be pending. Everything else looks pretty much locked in, and so you're up to date on the jockeys. Before we talk some more of the results and visit with some winners from the weekend, including Brad Cox in this hour. Brad Cox will join us after Brian Lynch. After the first break, we'll check in with Lynchy and the news of Heart to Heart's retirement coming yesterday. If ever there was the expression, the old expression, he's done enough. Sometimes it's used in jest, but not in this case. Heart to Heart, 12-time graded stake winner, 2-time. Or even two-time grade one winner, the Makers 46 last year, his last grade one, his last win, period. But in addition to his two grade ones, the Shoemaker, or actually the Gulfstream Turf, that's what it was, in February, and then he last year, and then came back in April. And the back-to-back grade ones, that's right. He had taken it, it had been so long that he'd been trying to get the grade one, including, you know, a number of placements and a couple of unbelievably narrow beats. I mean, the Shoemaker beaten three quarters by Balabali and Farhan. The Shadwell, he got beat a half a length by Suédois. But at the age of seven last year, the back-to-back grade ones in the Gulfstream Turf, he beat Kirilov and High Happy. And then he won the Makers 46. And then he just got beat a neck by Hunt in the Shoemaker. So he almost won three straight grade ones at the age of seven. Unbelievable. You know, he started, people may forget, he started with Mike Stidham before being transferred at the start of his three-year-old year. And I can tell you that having seen many, many of his races in Florida and in New York and also in California, the Hamiltons, Terry Hamilton and his wife, so much fun. They just had the greatest ride with this horse. And Brian did just a great job. You know, you keep a horse like this, keep him competitive at the highest level for 5 years. I mean, it's unbelievable. Ontario bred, which you might forget, English Channel out of a Silver Deputy mare, and he is certainly going to have a stallion career, undoubtedly, to be this durable. And you know, and granted, he pretty much, you know, it's not fair to say that he was just a miler, that was his only distance, because it's not true. It's not true. He won, just looking through here, the Gulfstream Park Turf was a mile and an eighth. So he won grade ones at both a mile and a mile and an eighth. We'll talk to, we'll let Brian riff on him. And dote on him. A barn favorite, a fan favorite, handsome horse. And then with that heart on his forehead, that only enhanced. I got a great picture, actually. I'm sure I'll use today for the listing. A great picture of him at Gulfstream from, you know what? It must have been before the turf when he won it, or before the Fort Lauderdale. I forget when I was there. In January or February. I think it was before he won that grade one. I'm going to guess. You'll love that picture if you haven't seen it. I've also got a great picture. I got a great picture of Brian and the Hamiltons as well, standing in the breezeway and the wind whistling. Heart to heart. Andy Serling back from Arkansas, traveled back yesterday, and we'll talk to Andy at the top of hour two. Jeremy Plonk, Countdown to the Crown, plus some Keeneland stuff. 11 o'clock, hour three, Bill Downs is going to join us, the voice of Indiana Grand, and we're going to be featuring Indiana Grand on a pretty regular basis during their season. They kick it off today. I told you yesterday. Looking forward to this. I got all kinds of good stuff for Indiana. First post, 2:15 Eastern today. They're racing today, tomorrow. We'll get everything you need to know. And actually, Brad Cox is going to be on. He was the second leading trainer last year, behind Mike Lauer and ahead of Tom Amos, perennial Indiana training stalwart. We got to talk about the Pimlico news from the weekend. The engineering study that is going to seal off the Northern Grandstand. And I saw at least two or three Preaknesses from that northern grandstand, the oldest part of Pimlico, 6,670 seating capacity, not necessarily safe for capacity. We'll talk about the what is behind that. Let's take a first break. Brian Lynch, when we come back, kicks it off. Talk about Heart to Heart's great career.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet, and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm going to Chicago, that's the last place my baby stays.
We're back at the races. And no matter how much you love watching a big racehorse win and succeed on track, there comes the point where everybody looks at each other, the owners and the trainer and the staff, and says, there's no point in pressing on the proverbial he's done enough. And that's the case with 15-time winner Heart to Heart, over $2 million, two grade ones, 12 graded stake wins, 13 stake wins overall, and a just fabulous campaigner for year after year after year, 2 through 8. And Brian Lynch, congratulations, sending him home healthy, and he'll certainly have a second career, but had to call you after all the fun conversations we had the last 5 years about Heart to Heart.
Yeah, Steve, when I just listened to what you had to say there, he's got quite the resume, really, doesn't he? I mean,
yeah.
15 wins, 12 or 13 graded stakes, two grade ones as a seven-year-old. So, yeah. He had a great run with him. He sadly missed, but hopefully he's going to go on to a good career elsewhere.
There's no doubt. I mean, given how durable he's been and really versatile, too, because at first I was going to say Myler, and then when you look at the resume, you realize that he was very effective out at a mile and an eighth. And
yeah, I don't think he was ever beat at a mile and an eighth.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Look at that.
Yeah, he won the Bernard Baruch. He won the Commonwealth at Churchill. Was that a mile and an eighth?
The Commonwealth, mile and a 16th for the Commonwealth.
Yeah, what was the next one there at Churchill when he was a three-year-old?
He won the River City.
Yeah, the River City. Maybe he was a four-year-old then, yeah.
And the Knickerbocker?
And then he also won the Knickerbocker. You know, when you look back over him too, like, he really got beat in a few tight head bobs to win another $1 million in big graded races. So he's in a photo finish to get, you know, got beat in the Shadwell very tightly, got beat in the Kilroy, the Shoemaker. You know, he ran some massive races to run second to probably a mouse of very close to another $1 million to his toll, but, you know, that's all said and done. But there was some Rocky Balboa title fights in his on his resume, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm just also going to fold in the durability, obviously, when a horse races till 8 and makes 41 career starts, 15 wins, and another 10 board hits. But also, not just the distance, also the versatility of the courses that he ran over, including the sand-based courses at Churchill and Keeneland, then all different others, Belmont, Saratoga, Woodbine, you know. Santa Anita. I mean, he virtually, and of course, because he's an English Channel, he handled softish going as well.
Yeah, there were some courses he'd tolerate the soft going in, and there's some courses he wouldn't. It was a great run with him, Steve. Beautiful little sound horse his whole career, and every time he gave us a little hint that he needed a little break, we did that, and he'd come back and repaid us each campaign after that, Nothing but treasured memories with him.
Well, and we'll talk about Terry I'm going to forget the wife's name.
Toby.
I knew it was another T. That's right. Terry and Toby. How much fun they had, Brian. I mean, this was one of those circumstances. I think back to Lord Derby and Ouija Board, who just was so tickled to have a horse like that, he wanted to keep campaigning.
No question,
right?
Steve. He's a fairy book tale for them, small owners out of Lethbridge, Canada. So, great job. Alistair Roden picked him out as a yearling at the Canadian yearling sales, and obviously made a great choice in the horse. And Mike Stidham had him to begin with, and Mike had done a good job with him. And because he was a Canadian bred, and I was still based in Canada at the time, I got a phone call from Terry out of the blue one day, asked me would I take him as a three-year-old. So I was lucky to fall into the equation myself. Otherwise, Mike probably would have had him the whole time. But I never did feel like he liked the poly, or I never felt like he really particularly wanted to run a mile and a quarter on the poly. But Terry, being a Canadian, wanted to give him a try in the Queen's Plate and the preps leading up to it. After that, I said, okay, you've had your fun with him. Can I have some, let me take him to Saratoga. There's a race down there called the Better Talk Now. Put him back on the grass and get him round two turns. And then from that was the rest was history from there. He just got on a roll that was, just a great run.
And, you know, looking at that, people may have forgotten, or, you know, when you're looking at PPs that only go back 10 or 12 races, well buried is the 2014 try in the Queen's Plate that went to Lexi Liu. And he was eighth that day with Eureka Da Silva, tried the Toronto Cup, and he ran very well in the Toronto Cup. And this was around the time, Brian, that he was transitioning into a front runner, too, because that had not been his style from the get-go.
No. As we know, Woodbine's, some horses really like that sort of that course, and some horses, I always felt he didn't like the one-turn stuff. And that Woodbine in the Toronto Cup, it was all one turn, big long back straight, big long backside, and a long stretch. I always, and you've heard me preach this for years, Steve, I always thought one of his biggest assets is when he was good, he ran the turn so well. He was so effective. by the time you went into them, you could always guarantee you opened up a couple of them by the time they straightened up, especially if you was left alone. So the 1-2 and stuff, I never did think it was his game, but once we got back and kept him down going two turns, then he got back to being the sort of horse we were hoping he was.
Now, and you and I laughed many times, you know, during the run, and one of the great, I don't want to call it injustices, but there was a period where, as he was reeling off wins, everybody would say, well, he got lucky because the pace was so soft. And you had to keep listening to that nonsense. And you know, at a certain point, people said, well, gosh, maybe it doesn't really matter how fast they're going up front. He's just going to fend them all off.
Yeah, no, he certainly, he had his knockers that would say, oh, yeah, like you said, he got an easy lead and he got to get away with it. But you were welcome to go with him if you wanted to. But they would all seem to leave him alone. And throughout that period, he really did establish a great fan base. He was a real fan favorite. You know, everybody loves a bold front runner when they shake loose and they give him value for the money. And he was such a photogenic little horse in the paddock and real easy keeper around the barn, very low maintenance. Wouldn't even know he was there. So just a stellar little dude to have in the barn.
Which of the performances stays with you as his best?
Oh, that's a great question, Steve. I would have to say, you know, last year's making mark. I
mean, yeah.
He'd come off the Gulfstream Park handicap, and he come back against a pretty good field of horses last year, and he was, he was struck his mojo. He had his game going on this time last year, so I'd have to say that, particularly at Keeneland, particularly because Terry and Toby always come down for a good little stay through Keeneland, and to have it happen there was very, very, well, I would say, my best win with him.
And I'm going to look. I mean, from
but
a figure...
But there's so many of them too, Steve. I mean, when he got hot down there, he loved that Gulfstream strip. He rolled off, you know, like the Fort Lauderdale, the Canadian, so many down there that he was effective in. I think he won the Canadian twice.
Yep.
Gulfstream Park handicap, Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. El Prado, I think he won that down there.
Here it is. Better Talk Now, then the Jefferson Cup, the Commonwealth, the Ocean Port. We forgot about Monmouth, the River City.
Yeah.
The Fort Lauderdale, the Canadian, then the Knickerbocker, the El Prado, another Canadian, the Bernard Baruch, then the Gulfstream Turf, and then the Makers 46, his final win. And his
I thought this year's, in the El Prado, he got into a bit of a tangle at the break and had to come from off the pace. I thought that was one of his better races. Even though he didn't win, he showed another dimension. And I thought we were back on track with him. And then when we took him to Tampa, he entrapped for the first time as an 8-year-old.
Wow.
That was sort of weird. And but we set him into Rude and Riddle, and they untrapped him, and everything looked good. And he trained really well, good energy, and his works were solid leading up to this year's Maker's Mark. But off that performance, I said to Terry that... he's boxed at a pretty heavyweight contenders category for a long time. So let him go out in the big fights, and if he can't perform at that level anymore, then it's probably best that we give him another chance at his second career. So everybody was unanimous on that decision. So it was an easy one. We had pictures of him yesterday. Terry sort of turned him loose at Hiddenbrook. So I come down to Florida to see my wife for a few days. But I didn't want to be around when he left the barn. It'd be a tearjerker for me.
Terry
had some great pictures yesterday turning him loose at Hiddenbrook. So that's where he'll reside until we decide what we're going to do with him. But he deserves to be bowling here in the bluegrass for a while.
No doubt, and it gives you time to negotiate. With breeding season almost over, another month, and you and Terry can negotiations?
Yeah, we've had, I reached out to a few Australian connections, so we've had a bit of interest in him down there. Obviously, he's very interested down there because a lot of times we breed for that, for that Melbourne Cup. We got that old colonial pedigrees wanting to get 2 miles where he can introduce a bit of speed in them. Hmm. And their breeding season starts in August, so it mightn't be a bad time. See, I personally, being an Aussie, it'd be great to see him down there, but I'd also like to see him stay here because I'd love to train his progeny.
Exactly. So we'll watch. I mean, he's eligible in a lot of directions, Canada, and certainly anybody that's willing to stand turf stallion. Absolutely deserves a chance, and we'll wait and see. I'm not surprised that you didn't want to be there to see him get on the van. That's not easy.
I'm a softie for that.
No doubt.
It was hard enough to watch Oscar Performance walk away there not long ago, and then to have him come. But we'll look for the next one, and hopefully he's not too far away. And we retired two very beautiful sound horses that look like they have they look like they're going to go on to have great stud careers.
Well, let's talk a little bit, too, while we've got you. Let's catch up on what's been going on, and that includes the try the other day in the Ben Ally. And third day ran well.
Yeah, he's starting to work it out. He's sort of for a five-year-old, he's still a very lightly raced horse, and I thought he ran well, too. He ran, when we ran him in Louisiana, he ran in spurts. He sort of idled out halfway through the race. But the other day, he sort of kept to it. And I think that he's one of them horses, as the year goes on, he's just going to keep getting better and better. And so I'm hoping that he might be hold his own in the handicap division as the year goes on.
He's a Bernardini out of a street cry mare. And as you mentioned, lightly raced. He was shelved between February of 17 when Todd had him, and then when you got him back going late last year. So this is really the first period of time that he's had steady work and gotten a series of starts
races.
In.
Yeah. So like I said, Steve, he's a beautiful. He seems to. Town and Country have done the right thing by him, gave him time when he needed it. He had a little ankle surgery that, and everything's good with him now, and he seems like a lovely sound horse. So, again, like I say, I just got a feeling he's the sort of horse as the older handicap division goes on as we get further into the spring, summer, that he could be a horse that could show up on a big day.
Well, now graded stake placed, so nothing wrong with that introduction to that kind of company. He was only beaten 3 and change by Silver Dust in the mineshaft, so he's edging forward. And while we're on that topic, let's also ask about the Point of Humor that ran over the weekend at Aqueduct, the maiden.
I think he'll have a good year too. He had a little tiny little hairline fracture that come out of his last race at Saratoga. So gave him some time, and he came back well. I thought he may have needed the race the other day, and he did. So I think he'll really move forward off that race. But he should be a fun horse to campaign around New York this spring and summer with.
Well, I know that this one will be a bit of a curveball, but the Hamiltons have one in tomorrow, and you and I actually were lining up shoulder to shoulder because I've got Minute Mouse, our little filly, lines up against Tanyelle's Candy tomorrow in the nightcap at Aqueduct.
Yeah, well, she'll be a surprise packet for me, Steve. She really got through her work on the dirt but hadn't given you any wow factor. But being a twirl and candy, you hope she's going to take to the grass. Otherwise, we're in trouble.
Well, we're in the same boat, too. And our little filly's a tiny thing, and she tries. She's determined, and this will be her grass debut. We couldn't get her on the grass at all last year with the weather in New York. So that's kind of – it made me laugh when I was looking to see what you had coming up. But let's talk about the allowance. balance runners that particularly at Keeneland, you're in the couple of the features, Iona Moby coming up on Thursday, and then Friday you've got Munchkin Money.
Yeah, what a great filly she's been to us, and that'll be the toughest test, I think, this Friday. That looks like, there's a few fillies that come out of some graded stakes in there that have been given some time, that have run good races, that could be particularly tough, but she's just such a model of consistency, and she shows up every time, and she comes out of Gulfstream with two back-to-back wins, and we're looking at a stake in May for her up in New York, a New York red stake, so this seemed like just an ideal little race to keep it ticking over, and certainly a test of